is the first few seconds of the last set of a concert which has become famous. It's the night Bob Dylan played electric guitar in front of a five-piece band at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester, England, in 1966. Rock historian Ed Ward discusses the climactic moment of this show and the fan who precipitated it.
In 1966, Bob Dylan took an electric band to England and Ireland for a tour. Accompanying him once again was a documentary film crew under the direction of D.A. Pennebaker, who'd made a documentary of the 1965 tour, Don't Look Back. This meant that many of the shows on the tour were recorded. At one point, apparently, Dylan and his record label, Columbia, were considering releasing a live album from this material, and some of it was mastered for release, although at the time, only a blistering version of Just Like Tom Thumb's Blues from a concert in Dublin ever came out, and that is the B-side of a single. Naturally, at some point, bootleggers got a hold of the mastered concert tapes from one of the shows. They knew it was from the English tour, so it was released as being from the Royal Albert Hall, a venue Americans knew from the Beatles' A Day in the Life. But once copies of the bootleg reached Britain, it became known that the show in question was actually recorded in Manchester at the Free Trade Hall there. In fact, there was a dead giveaway, which in recent weeks has resulted in an amazing discovery. But before we get to that, maybe I should give you some context. As is well known, Bob Dylan emerged as the folk-singing voice of protest in the early 1960s. It was apparently not a role he sought, and one he found confining from early on, but his desire for stardom was great enough that he let it be while his career ascended. But in 1965, well established, he decided to go public with an idea he'd had for some time, and on July 25th, he appeared at the Newport Folk Festival with an electric band, an event which nearly caused a riot. The Newport Band was taken from the ranks of Paul Butterfield's Chicago Blues Band, and Dylan needed something more permanent. On August 28th, he appeared at Forest Hills Tennis Stadium with another band, which included Robbie Robertson on lead guitar and LaVon Helm on drums. I was at this concert, but I was only 16 and had gotten my tickets from a young woman with whom I'd been corresponding. She turned out to be beautiful, smart, and, I knew, someone I'd never see again because I was starting college in a week, so I can't remember a thing except that, in the second half of the show, when the electric section began, people found tennis balls under the seats and tried to pelt the figures on stage with them. This going electric enraged some people, you see. Dylan was abdicating his responsibility to be the voice of a generation and going on to more selfish pursuits, as they saw it. In Britain, where left-wing folk songs were an integral part of post-war culture, the betrayal was felt even more strongly. Thus, on the night of May 17, 1966, in Manchester, Dylan faced a divided audience, some of whom heckled him. And, before the evening's last song, one in particular made history. Without access to the film of this concert, we can't say for sure if Dylan was angry, but here's what happened next.
I don't believe you. You're a liar. Yeah.
Launching into a bloodthirsty version of Like a Rolling Stone, Dylan and his band peeled the paint off the walls of the Free Trade Hall, unplugged, and went home. The Judas heckler, though, had already gone home. We know this now because a few weeks ago, British DJ Andy Kershaw and author C.P. Lee found him working in a Toronto bank. His name is Keith Butler, and because the Free Trade Hall show was released last December in a blaze of publicity, he found himself reading about the show in a Toronto Sun a customer had left in a donut shop he'd dropped into. Today, Butler says he's not proud of himself, but his emotions got the best of him. He yelled, and then he and his friends stomped out. Standing there in the lobby, being interviewed, he missed one of the most powerful moments in all of rock and roll, a moment he himself had instigated. But then, he wouldn't have enjoyed it. Still, Keith, thanks from the rest of us.
Ed Ward is Fresh Air's rock historian. He's currently living in Berlin. I'm Terry Gross.